To Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. We'll read together this morning the first 46 verses of the chapter. We read this in connection with Lord's Day 49 on the petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." We see the example of Christ this morning in his prayer concerning the will of God and doing God's will. The Word of God at Matthew 26. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my body, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter saith unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. We'll read the chapter that far. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. It's on the basis of that passage and in harmony with the entirety of God's word that we have the instruction of the catechism in Lord's Day 49. Lord's Day 49 of the Heidelberg Catechism, just one question and answer, 124. The question is this, which is the third petition? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will, and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good, that so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the third petition of the Lord's Prayer teaches us concerning the will of God. Whenever we talk about the will of God, we need to remember that there are two aspects to God's will. There is, on the one hand, what we refer to as the will of God's decree. That's the will of God from the perspective of what God has decreed in eternity to take place in time and history. Other words for the will of God in that sense are counsel, and the one that we're using, decree. An example of that is found in Ephesians chapter 1, really the entirety of the chapter. Verse 5, for example, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 11 of the same chapter, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So there the will of God is looked at from the point of view of that which God has decreed in eternity to take place in time and in history. The second way in which we must understand the will of God is what is referred to as the will of his command. The will of God from the point of view of this is what God desires and commands that you do. Oftentimes in the scriptures we read of the will of God from that point of view. Matthew chapter 7 verse 21, for example, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. There, the will is looked at from the point of view of that which God commands us to do. Now we come to this petition, and we have to ask the question, to which is the third petition referring? The answer to that question is really both. There is a point of view in which we look at this petition from the will of God's decree when we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's a legitimate way to look at this petition of the prayer, that our prayer there is that God's will, that which He has decreed in eternity, will take place. And remember what I said in the introduction to the last sermon. All of this always needs to be looked at in light of the first petition, "Hallowed be Thy name," so that we pray, "Thy will be done," from that perspective, ultimately desiring that in the doing of God's will, the carrying out of that will, God's name would be glorified. But the perspective of the Heidelberg Catechism is that it looks at it from the other point of view, the will of God's command, and there is a relationship between the will of God in both of these senses and the doing of His will, as we see it in the Catechism here. The will of His decree is carried out and the glory of His name is accomplished. But the Catechism looks at it from the point of view of the will of God's command. When we pray this petition, what we are praying is that we would renounce our will and obey God's will, and do so willingly, joyfully, do so as the angels of heaven, which carry out their calling perfectly. We need to remember those two ideas of God's will, and that will come up in the course of the sermon this morning. With that in mind, let's look at this Lord's Day, using as our theme, "Praying, Thy will be done." I should have added one word to each of the points of the sermon to make it a little bit clearer as to what we're going to do in the sermon this morning. The first point of the sermon is understanding Christ's prayer. So that's what we're going to do first. We're going to look at the prayer of Christ as we read it in Matthew chapter 26. In the second place, what we'll look at is following Christ's example. Seeing that prayer, understanding it, we turn in the second place to following His example. And then in the third place, let's see in conclusion this morning the importance of using the gift of prayer. Using the gift of prayer to do, as we'll see, what we're called to do when we pray this petition of the Lord's Prayer. So praying, "Thy will be done." Understanding Christ's prayer, following Christ's example, and then using the gift of prayer. We begin this morning by looking exclusively at the Lord Jesus Christ and looking at the prayer that He offered in the Garden of Gethsemane, the essence of which is very similar to the prayer that we are taught to pray in the Lord's Prayer. The essence of that prayer, which must be the essence of our prayer and the following of what we pray, is "Not my will, but God's will be done." Jesus Christ taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer. He taught us to pray each of these petitions. This is an example of Jesus teaching us to pray a petition, and then He Himself going out and praying and following perfectly the petition that He taught us to pray. That's not true with all of the petitions. There are certain petitions that Jesus did not have to pray. He never had to pray, "Forgive my sins," as we are taught to pray. But He taught us to pray this petition. And He Himself prayed a very similar petition, as we see this morning from Matthew chapter 26. The context of what we read in Matthew 26 is well known. You children know this history well that we read of in Matthew 26. This was the day and the night before Jesus' crucifixion. He was in the upper room, and for the last time, He celebrated the Passover feast. And in celebrating the Passover feast, He instituted the Lord's Supper. And then Jesus left that upper room, and He went to a place that He often went to, the Garden of Gethsemane. And He did, in that Garden of Gethsemane, what he often did, which was pray. Jesus prayed for strength in light of what he knew was going to take place the next day, his crucifixion on Calvary's cross. But let's look at that prayer that he offered. There were two main parts to that prayer. The first part, as we read it in verse 39, is, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now understand that when Jesus offers this prayer, he is not sinning. He is not rebelling against the will of God. We'll see just the opposite in a little bit. He is not refusing to do the work that God called him to do and sent him to this earth to do, which was bring about the salvation of his elect people. He's not sinning by offering that first part of the prayer, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. We need to understand why he prayed this and what he is praying for. To do that, we need to understand the cup that he refers to. He's asking in his prayer to the Father in heaven, which is really the triune God of heaven and earth, he's asking that the cup pass from him, that he not drink, if it is possible, the cup that he must, as we will see, drink. The question is, what is that cup? That cup is the cup of the wrath of God. If you were a Jew and you heard Jesus pray that and you were familiar with the Old Testament, you would know that when Jesus says this cup, that it's referring to the fury and the wrath of God against sin. There are several passages, I'll read just two from the Old Testament that make that clear. One of them is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 51, verse 17. Isaiah 51:17, Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which has drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of His fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. Another example is Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, Take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. But notice that language, the wine cup of this fury. And then we can turn to the New Testament and the book of Revelation, and that confirms this idea that is found in the Old Testament, Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 and 10. Revelation 14, 9 and 10, And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Very clear description of what the cup that Jesus refers to is. It's the cup of the wrath of God. It's the cup that is poured out upon those who are sinning, those who are guilty before God, and those who therefore, because God is a holy and just God, must experience that wrath of God against sin. Jesus, the night before his crucifixion, standing in the shadow of the cross, prays this prayer, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. If it is possible, if there is any other way to accomplish the goal of the salvation of my people, let me go that way, he says. We get a glimpse into the heart and the soul of Jesus here, and the agony of what he was going through, and the depth of what the suffering of the cross was all about. Again, I reiterate, he was not sinning by offering this petition. He had an aversion to the cross. And the reason for that is he knew what that cross was all about. Beloved, we don't understand it as well as we should. We don't understand it because of our sinful natures. We don't understand it because we are calloused towards sin. We don't understand as profoundly as we should what sin against God is. And what, therefore, sin against a holy God deserves, which is the fury of His wrath and judgment on that sin and sinner. We don't understand it. We take sin way too flippantly. We don't see it as seriously as we should. And we don't understand what it deserves truly. Jesus did. Jesus understood perfectly what that cross meant and what it meant for Him the next day to cry out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me?" What it means to experience the fullness of God's wrath, separation from God for the sins of all His people. He knew what the cross meant and He understood it in the depths of its profound nature. And therefore He prays this prayer. And He says, if it's possible, if there's any other way, let it be that way and let this cup pass from Me. It shows us the true nature of what the cross was all about. But that wasn't the only part of the prayer. And that's where this gets applicable to us, as we'll see later in the second point of the sermon. Yes, He started the prayer that way, but the overarching desire of Jesus Christ was not His will, was not this, but as He says later in the prayer, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." And that's what we need to be impressed with this morning as we look at the Lord Jesus Christ. What we need to be impressed with is the fact that His desire, His greatest desire, even though He started the prayer that way to teach us about the profound nature of the cross, was that God's will would be done. Not my will, but Thy will be done. And if that means, as He says later, the second time it becomes more explicit, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from Me except I drink it, Thy will be done." A firm resolution in the heart and in the mind of Christ to do the will of God, which meant the drinking of the cup of God's wrath. And beloved, as we know, that was the only way for the salvation of His people was the drinking of the cup of His wrath. And so He went that way. He followed perfectly the will of God for Him. He accomplished God's grand will for all things, which was the salvation of His people through His death on that cross. And He drank that cup. And think about that idea too. It was a drinking of that cup. He didn't look at the cup. The cup wasn't poured out upon Him. He had to drink it. And beloved, when you drink something, you internalize it. You become one in a certain sense with that which you drink. And that's what Jesus did. He drank fully the cup of God's wrath. He did that for you. He did that for me. He did that for all of His people. He did that on the cross during those 3 hours of darkness. He carried out perfectly the will of God. Beloved, that means, therefore, that we have salvation. That's the gospel this morning. That the Lord Jesus Christ did not shy away from drinking the cup, but He did the Father's will and drank fully that cup. That's our salvation. But also we see this morning that because Jesus Christ drank fully the cup of God's wrath, we are here this morning in the Church of Christ, and we are those who pray as we did earlier in the worship service, and we are those who pray this petition, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Beloved, we offer this petition as a fruit of the work of Jesus Christ to drink the cup of His wrath. There is another cup for us that we experience, and that's the beauty of Jesus drinking this cup. The other cup is the cup of God's blessing that we read about in Scripture. The other cup is the cup of the Lord's table in which we fellowship and commune with God on the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ. The other cup that we drink are the blessings of salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that we hear a sermon on the Lord's Prayer and we hear a sermon on this petition and we say this morning, I pray this and I desire to go forth from that prayer following what we learn in the Heidelberg Catechism. I want, out of love for God and out of thanks because Jesus drank that cup, to renounce my will and do God's will. And so we move on now to the second point of the sermon, and having understood a little bit about the prayer that Jesus offered, we need to strive to follow that example of Christ and follow it in this general way, which is the essence of that prayer. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Obviously, beloved, there is a difference between Jesus offering this prayer and petitions like this one and our praying a petition like this. The difference is that Jesus did not sin in offering this petition. As we'll see later, there is an element of this that deals with our sin. When we pray this petition, part of it is an asking that God would renounce our will, which is sinful at times, and do the will of God, which is perfect and good, and carry that out as the angels do in heaven. And so there is a difference between Jesus obviously praying this and our praying it. We can divide our praying this type of petition into two groups. There are times when we pray things that are not sinful in their own right, altogether legitimate. And we pray them very legitimately, but need to follow them in the same way that Jesus followed His prayer. Nevertheless, not what I will, but Thy will be done. There are things that we pray for in our lives that need to follow the example of Jesus in that way. Let's give a few examples of those. A very legitimate desire in prayer is for health, is for recovery, is for sicknesses being alleviated and strength being restored. That's altogether a good petition to offer. We may offer that petition for the right reasons, not sinfully and selfishly to have a person back in our life in full strength, but in a good way so that that person is able to go forth and do what they're called to do in their life and live to the glory of God's name. But we pray that God would alleviate sickness, that God would use doctors, use medicine in order to heal. But when we pray that, as we all know, our overarching prayer to which we must submit is this: not my will. In the end, though that is my will and desire, not sinfully, but it is. In the end, not my will, but Thy will be done. Beloved, when you pray about those who are sick, when you yourself are sick, when you look at your parents and your children that are sick, make sure that you submit to the will of God in this regard. Another example is marriage, a very legitimate desire. You understand what marriage is all about. You understand that God desires, or God calls us to marry if it is His will. Shouldn't have said desire. You understand that God fulfills His covenant in the way of marriages and children in marriage. And so you desire a spouse. And you make that your prayer. And you are, in a Christian way, seeking a spouse. Not seeking any spouse, but seeking a spouse in the Lord. And so you make those petitions and you pray fervently for a spouse. But beloved, remember this. In the end, not my will, but thine be done. And we submit, therefore, to God's will in our life. And wherever we are in our life in that respect, we do as the Catechism says, we are faithful in the calling that God has placed us here and now. So there are examples like that where we offer petitions and we have desires that are not sinful in their own right, but yet we need to bend them always in submission to the will of God. But now we see in the second place that there is a difference between us and Christ, because there are times when our wills very much are contrary to the will of God. And where the language of the Catechism needs to be impressed upon us this morning, grant that we and all men may renounce our will, that we would not do what our sinful desires are to do, and not murmur, but obey that which God commands us to do, what His will is for us. And in that way, do God's will. And in that way, God's will in our lives in this world will be done. Where do you begin, in a certain sense, in the application of those ideas? Now we're dealing simply with sin. What we know is in our hearts, according to our sinful nature and what we desire to do. We'll talk about this more when we get to the petition concerning forgiveness. But that's a good example. We have sinful natures that have a will, a desire. And that will and desire is often not to forgive. We don't want to forgive. We've been sinned against. And no matter what relationship that is, husband and wife, friends, parents and children, we've been sinned against. We don't want to forgive. And we certainly don't want to walk in love that must follow forgiveness. And the devil plays on that because there's a lot there. Because the thing about that is that we can be justified in that. We feel justified in that. They don't deserve it. Look at what they did to me. They don't deserve to be forgiven, and they certainly don't deserve to be loved as a result of that forgiveness. Renounce what is your will and follow and obey what is God's will. Beloved, obey what is God's will, which is to forgive. Forgive your spouse when they sin against you. And you love them and you strive to love them with everything that you have. In your friendships as high schoolers, you experience this. Where you're sinned against. Someone does something to you that you don't like. And all you want to do is cast them away. Don't want anything to do with that person anymore. They may be sorry for it. But look at what they did. I don't want anything to do with it. And so you do nothing with them. And you cast them away because of that one, two, or three things that they did against you. So often, beloved, that's our will. And that's our desire. But when we pray, "Thy will be done," we need to obey. We need to renounce what our will is and obey what God's will is. Another example, and there are many, obviously, as I said a moment ago, giving. Giving in the church. There's a certain command of God that comes to us with respect to giving in the church, where we are obeying God's calling for us in the church, in our lives, with respect to what He gives to us. Beloved, the will that we often have, which is not God's will, is that we hoard for ourselves what God gives us. and we don't give to the church as we are called to, God's will is clear. Give to the church. Give first to the church. Young people, are you listening to this? This isn't something just your parents are called to do. This is something that you can do. If you're out of high school in particular, even in high school, if you have a job, but I'm thinking especially of that, out of high school, maybe even living at home, working full time, your responsibility is just as high as everyone else is for giving to the church. Young adults, young couples who are married, beginning their lives together, where yes, things are very difficult and things are tight, and where the temptation is to put last, this is your will, last giving to the church. Beloved, we need to renounce what is our will in that respect. And at a very early age, do God's will. Very early age when it's difficult. So that at the time when it's difficult, we go on in life and we have learned from our very earliest ages to give and to give liberally, to give joyfully, to do what God calls us to do with respect to the money that He has given us. In that way, God's will is done. One more example, dating and marriage. So often as young people, our will, which we need to renounce regarding whom we date, how we date, and why we date, is wrong. But that's a strong desire that we have that is contrary to the will of God. Whom we date, often, as you young people know, it can be driven by the wrong things. Driven by looks, outward appearance, driven by social standing, driven by what this man potentially could do for work and therefore have as money in order to maintain a certain lifestyle. Instead of, with respect to the question of whom we date, following God's will, His command, which is marry in the Lord. Find a spouse who is one with you in the truth. Find a spouse who is absolutely one with you in how you live, which is antithetically holy in a very wicked world. How you date. So often, we have a certain will that we want to follow. All about fun. All about a good time. Driven date after date, simply about having a good time. Instead of the how being this, we're going to focus on spiritual things. And yes, we have a good time. I'm not saying that. But we focus on spiritual things at times. We talk about sermons. We go to Bible study together. We reflect upon it regularly. We read the Bible together. And we pray together. And then why we date. So often, the why can be a will that is ours and not God's. Why? To have a good time. Why? Very sinfully. Because in the way of dating, I know that I can fulfill a sexual lust that I have outside of marriage. Instead of the why being God's will that we are called to perform, which is I date to marry. I date to marry in the Lord. Everything I do in this dating has a goal of that as its end. And when I realize, or when we realize together, very clearly, that this is not going to be my spouse, then we break it off and we pursue other avenues. But the point is very clear, beloved. In dating, what is your will, sinfully, and what is God's will? Perform God's commands and do it without murmuring. Do it joyfully and willingly. Tie this back to the first point. Follow Christ's example. Christ doing this is the power of our going forth, living according to God's will. But it's also the example, so that in everything, we have this before our minds, not my will, but God's will be done. And in doing that, be confident that decree of God, the will of God from that point of view, and our going forth daily, submitting to God's commands for us, will be accomplished. And use the gift of prayer to do this. It's a striking part about the Lord Jesus Christ in the passage. He prayed. He didn't pray simply for the sake of praying. He prayed three times. And he prayed fervently, drops of blood coming out of him. And the purpose of his praying there was that through that prayer, God would give him strength to do exactly what we are talking about in the sermon today, to go forward and do God's will, which was the cross of Calvary, the next day. But take note of that point. He prayed. He prayed as hard as he possibly could. He prayed with an eye on that, doing God's will, and God's will being accomplished. Beloved, pray. Use the gift of prayer to do exactly what we have been talking about today, to renounce our will, and without murmuring and with joy, obey faithfully God's will as the angels do in heaven. But God uses the gift of prayer to cause us to do that, so that every day, as it relates to the examples that we talked about, we are praying, and we are praying with others, God, help me. Help me to forgive when every fabric of my being doesn't want to forgive. And help me not just to say it, but in my relationship with my friends and in my relationship to my spouse, to love my spouse and truly to forgive. God, help me. As you think about your budget and you think about paying bills, help me to renounce what my will is, to keep this for myself. And to do God's will, which is to give to the church. And God, help me, as a young person in high school, as a young adult in college, to look at dating and a spouse and to follow God's will. Help me, in whatever station and calling I am in this life, to renounce my will and do God's will. Pray. Write it down. Write it down often. Look at it frequently with those things that you know that you struggle with as it relates to doing your will instead of God's will, and use the gift of prayer in order to do the will of God and to do it with joy and to do it out of thanks. But in all things, pray this and follow this. Not my will, but thine be done. Amen.